Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Today I'll just quickly conclude the second part of the second doctrine. Faith in God or faith towards God. Let's read Galatians 3, 1 to 3. We're going to read a number of scriptures. I'm just going to move swiftly. Father, I thank you because your word says in Isaiah 50, verse 4, that you have given me the tongue of the land, that I know how to speak words in season to him that is weary or needy. Thank you because you wake me morning and morning by morning. You wake me to hear as the land. Father, today, let me speak as your oracles. Spirit of grace, we know you are here. Come and glorify Jesus. Let's read, want to go. Oh, foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun this in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? We've been studying Galatians, the book of Galatians. And those of you who've been following that teaching already have a context to that scripture. This was a letter Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, you know, and he was almost reprimanding them and also calling them to remembrance that, you know, justification does not come by trying to keep the Mosaic law. You know, that it does not come by their self-effort, but by trusting in the finished work of Christ. Now, these people had a knowledge of the new life, a knowledge of the way of faith. You know, the new creation, the New Testament, the new life, the life of the Spirit. All of those are called, are words used to describe this new way, the way of faith. So Paul was saying to them, but you guys are born again. You know, you understand that righteousness, justification, salvation does not come by trying to, you know, keep the Mosaic law, the 600 plus, you know, rules and laws, you know, which in themselves could not bring salvation. All right? The idea of the law was to, you know, show us our sinfulness and also to point us to Christ. That was the, you know, the job of the law. So Paul was saying to them, but how can you know, that Christ's death was so revealed to you as though you were on a billboard, as though you were like a huge screen you were watching, or advertisement. That's what it means, you know, that expression he used. As though you saw it physically. They were not there physically, but he said, you had the revelation as though you were present when he was there. How can you people try to now live the new life by keeping the law? Amen. So that's the context to that scripture. Let's go to Galatians 2:20. And I want us to read this together, and we will add this to our confession. So after the normal confession, let's make this, you know, a standalone personal confession. It's something you should confess. you know, put your name there, see yourself there, and speak every time. Let's read one to go. I, Nathaniel Bassi, am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live how? By faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, what was the summary? Paul was saying, you were saved by faith. You were saved by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is the Messiah. So, if you are saved by faith, why are you trying to live by works? Amen. So that's my discourse this morning. That the same faith that brought salvation is the same faith that we are to live by. Amen. So say we are saved by faith and we live by faith. Say, I live by faith. Romans 1:17, you will see that scripture so much in scripture. Let's read one to go. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You see, so it's, you see, it's from faith to faith. So you are saved by faith, and it's got to go from faith to faith. So you can't go from faith to works. Amen. Say, from faith to faith. As it is written, what? The just or the justified shall live by faith. In other words, another expression says, shall live by his own faith. See, I live by faith. We see that same scripture in Galatians 3:11. Galatians 3:11. Now, these are the foundations of our Christian faith, that if you don't get a grasp of them, your Christian journey becomes so shaky and you become easily tossed to and fro. Faith in God. But that no man what is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. Why? For the just shall live by faith. Say, the just shall live by faith. Oh, and the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that God is, that what God is, that God exists. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We see that same scripture, the just shall live by faith, in Hebrews 10:38. That's because it's so foundational to our faith. So foundational that this life is by faith. And we're going to look at it briefly. What does it mean to live by faith? Not the just. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The Christian journey is a journey of faith. It's a journey of faith. That's why you mustn't look like you are weird to the unbeliever. Of course we are weird to the unbelievers. Amen. Because it's a journey of faith. Sometimes you cannot fully prove what you believe. How many of you know that? But by the Spirit of God, we believe that these are realities. Amen. Habakkuk 2:4 is where they quoted from. You know, the prophet quoted this first. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live what? By faith. Say, I live by faith. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5 verse 7. Let's read one to go. For we walk by faith, not by sight. These are core, non-negotiable beliefs that must find roots in our hearts. We walk by faith and not by sight. What does sight there means? Sight means your five senses, your flesh. Not just sight now. In other words, we live. We don't determine our outcomes merely by what we see, what we hear, what we taste, and what again? What we feel. That's the life of a believer. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't make decisions based on what is obvious around us. That's what it means. We walk by faith and not by sight. Say, I walk by faith and not by sight. Is a major belief that we must come to terms with. So the doctor gives you a report and says, well, based on what we can see, you have this. What do you say? I walk by and not by sight. And what is faith? Faith, remember we said that faith is trust and belief in God. And more specifically so to us, in Christ. Remember when I shared some weeks ago that our faith in God is routed what? Through Christ. Okay, I think I'm going ahead of myself. Let me go with my notes so that I get them. By way of preamble and recap, we looked at what repentance from dead works. I'm not going to do that, Pastor. Oh, I did a fantastic work on that. If you have not been following, please go to our YouTube page and listen. She shared that repentance was more than just remorse. I'm sorry. But more importantly, repentance was remorse, or what we call godly sorrow, plus a 180 U-turn. Amen. Say, repentance is remorse, or what we call godly sorrow, and a U-turn, and a change of direction. Amen. From darkness to light. And that before we can have faith in God, we must repent from sin and dead works. And then we said that repentance is a turning away from, and then faith in God is a turning unto. Remember, a turning unto God. Let's read Romans 3, 20 to 28, NLT. It was a very good read for me. We saw that you have to repent, turn away from, and then turn unto before being saved. That no one is saved by trying to fulfill the requirements of the law. Let's read that together. The reading of the word is so precious. One to go. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. But now, God has shown. Stop. Now, when you see those road signs that tell you turn left to this, right? Speed limit. Not signs. Speed limits on the road. Okay? They are like the law. They make you conscious of your speed. Amen. And that's all they can do. They have no control. That sign, you know, letting you know your speed limit cannot take you to where you are going, right? No. So the law was like that. It was just a sign to show us our sin. But now, let's go. But now, God has shown us a way to be made right with Him. without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing what? Our faith in who? Say Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who they are. Stop. Paul in Romans 10 was saying, brethren, my desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. For they have what? A form of righteousness, but not according to what? Knowledge. Go to, please, do you have that video I shared? On STS about, you know, of the rabbi. Because, and also put Romans 10 for me. Put Romans 10 before I read this. The point I'm trying to make here is that faith in God is really faith in Christ. And that Jesus is the way that you cannot truly believe in God Yeshua based on what his word says. No one comes to the Father what except what? And this is why. This is the stumbling block to the Jews. They believe in Yahweh, the God of our Father, Jesus Christ, but they disdain Jesus. They don't believe is the way. Hence, they cannot be saved. Go to Romans 10. Romans 10. So, having faith in Jesus Christ as the Messiah and accepting his finished work on the cross is the basis for justification and righteousness. Go to Romans 10 for me now. Romans 10, before you come to that. Romans 10. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for what? The people of Israel to be saved. Verse 2. Go to verse 2. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but is what? Mixed directed zeal. Go to the King James and read the verse 2 in King James. For I bear them record that they have zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So, when it comes to the basic principle of Christianity, if you don't have faith in Jesus as the Son of God, as the Messiah, as the sent one, meant to, you know, facilitate salvation of the soul, you really don't have faith in God. Play that video of the rabbi.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
No.
No?
No. I'm Jewish. We don't believe in Jesus, to say straight out. He was just a person that pretended to be, I think the Son of God or whatever. When we pray straight to God. Right? We don't have any intermediary. We go direct to the source.
Now, this was Paul. What Paul was crying and weeping about. They believe with their whole heart that God is their Father, but that Jesus cannot be the Messiah. And Jesus said, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. Amen. So, believing in Jesus as the way to the Father, as the only way of salvation, and accepting his sacrifice on the cross is the concept of having faith in God. Do you understand? I'm taking my time going so slowly so that you understand that. Amen. So, Jesus is the one who facilitated salvation for us by the sacrifice he made on the cross. And the Bible says from Romans 10, 8 to 10, that if you believe that, if you confess that and believe in your heart, that which I've explained, you will be saved. Amen. So that is what it means to have faith in God. It means to have faith in Jesus Christ as the Messiah and what he has done. Amen. Let's look again. We said that faith, according to Hebrews 11:1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I like the Amplified. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Amen. So, faith is beyond the senses. Say, faith is beyond the senses. That's why we look weird to the natural man. That's why you look crazy when you are weak, but they say, how are you? You say, well, I'm this, but I'm strong. Because it is the character of faith that the weak will say what? That's the character of faith. Amen. It is at variance with sight, with flesh. Amen. So Paul said to the people in Galatians, he said, you are saved by faith. You now have the life you live in this body. You must live by the faith of the Son of God. Amen. See, I'm saved through faith, and I must live by faith. Amen. Remember, we said that faith is, you know, confidence and persuasion in the character of God. That faith is not a standalone. Faith is not ginger. Faith is not motivation. Faith is not some mental ascent. That faith is having trust in something or someone, you know, and in this case, in the character and nature of God. Amen. So it's a persuasion, it's a moral conviction. Based on the character of God. Write this down. Living by faith is Christ. Living by faith, comma, is Christ. Another comma. Through the person of the Holy Spirit, living the new life in and through us. Living by faith, comma, is Christ, comma, through the person of the Holy Spirit, or ministry of the Holy Spirit, the agency of the Holy Spirit, living the new life in and through us. It is also living by placing our trust in Christ. I've mentioned that already, but I just wanted to give you a definition for that. Just as we did for salvation. It is living life by placing our trust in Christ Jesus, just as we did to obtain salvation, righteousness, justification. Amen. So we go from faith to faith. We are saved through faith. You have to live by faith. Amen. See, I'm saved through faith. We live by faith. Let's read Galatians 2:20 again. It's one of our core scriptures. Galatians 2:20. Again, let's read. One to go. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but what? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. It is impossible to live the Christian life without Christ himself. The standards of the new creation or the new covenant is much higher than that of the law. In the law, you had to be caught in adultery. In the new life, you have to just think about it. And if you go by that standard, how many of us would have failed? So, God, seeing that, knows that there is nobody who can live this Christian life by their strength. By strength shall no man prevail. So, what did he do? He says, you know what? I will come and write the laws in their hearts. He will come and live in us. and live through us. So living by faith is Christ living in us and living the life through us. Say, living by faith is Christ by the Holy Spirit living in us and living through us. Amen. Put your hands together for our Lord Jesus. That's how we live this life. If not, we will frustrate the grace of our Lord Jesus. You see, if you are trying to live life based on your effort, you will frustrate the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Put that scripture for me. Let me touch on it a bit too. It says, and do not frustrate the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was going to demonstrate it. That's all. Please come again. That's all. Please come. That's all. Please come. Okay. I want somebody who looks like she needs help to come. No, in terms of size. No, not because she's... Okay, let me have Pastor Oche come. Pastor Oche come. Now, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Please come. If I asked her to carry this speaker, hope you know that she can carry this speaker. Hope you know that. Please let me have four other guys. Oh, Baz, come. Baz, come. Amen. So if I said to her, your job is to carry this speaker, okay? I'm putting you in charge of moving this speaker, but I have three hefty men to do what? To help you carry the speakers. Now, these ones represent what? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Her effort represents self-righteousness, self-effort. Now, I've given her the assignment, but she has help. Now, try to carry it, and when they come to help you, resist their help. Keep helping her. Now, after a while, these people feel like, iru. You can't even carry this out. What kind of person is this one? That's what it means to frustrate the grace of God. Is to have help and to refuse help and wanting to do things on your own. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. Tell somebody, don't frustrate the grace of God. Stop trying to live by your strength. Write this down. Living by faith is to relinquish our trust in self. Switching to reliance on the Spirit of God is to relinquish our trust in self to a reliance on the Spirit. So, in other words, living by faith is relying on the Spirit of God than on our self effort. When we speak about living by faith, we are talking about the Spirit-led life. See, the Spirit-led life. It is living life under the leadership of the Holy Spirit than in our strength and human effort. Amen. So, you could see that even when Paul was speaking to the church in Galatia, he sounded what? Frustrated. How many of you know he called them all foolish Galatians? As my wife explained on Wednesday, she said that foolishness is when we take our eyes off Jesus. That whenever we take our eyes off Jesus, we tend to foolishness because we are easily deceived. Looking unto Jesus, the author, and what? So it is living life under the leadership of the Holy Spirit than in our strength and human effort. Philippians 3, verse 3. Philippians 3, verse 3. Let's read together. I want to go. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ. We have no what confidence in the flesh. We have no confidence in the flesh. In practice, let me tell you what this means. Let me give you an example. Is relying more on your morals than on the righteousness and grace of Jesus Christ. So, for example, a wife says to the husband, babe, please, you know, yeah, you're going for this foreign trip. Make sure you are praying and you are careful. Watch your company. Be careful of those girls and all of that stuff. And then he says, no, babe, trust me now. I'm a good man. Trust me. I'm a man of character. The Bible says, let him that thinks he stand. The way faith talks is, by the grace of God, I will not fall. Every time you sideline God's grace, you set up yourself for a fall. Hallelujah. See, every time we sideline God's grace, we set ourselves up for a fall. That's the character of faith. Living by faith is living life guided by the word of God. Say, by the word of God. So, that's what it is. Is what does the word of God say on this occasion? You are guided by the word of God, not by trends, not by what is obtainable in the world. Living by faith is living life guided by the word of God. Proverbs 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will do what? That understanding is also your senses. You see, because what happened at the point of salvation when we confess Jesus was something called death to self. Say death to self. Say death to self. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 24, I believe, he says, if you want to be my what? Disciples. If any man will come after me, what should he do? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The new life means that you've relinquished control of your life. That's what it means. That you don't belong to yourself again. You don't take decisions that you like because there's someone else living inside of you. You take decisions that he likes. That's the life of faith. That's what it is. It's a core belief in our faith. So, we die to self. We no longer live for ourselves and the passion of self. Jesus said he must deny himself, take up his cross. That cross there means crucifixion. The old man that is the old nature, the nature of sin, is crucified, and the new man is alive. Colossians 3 verse 10 says, we have put on the new man, or the new self, which is renewed after knowledge. Renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Amen. So, the life of faith means that you've relinquished control. You no longer rely on yourself, on your senses, on the things that you see. For the things that are seen are temporal. For that which are not seen are what? Eternal. Hallelujah. Okay, let's quickly bring this home. So, what are the ways that we demonstrate our faith in God? Our faith in God. Number one, prayer. Say prayer. Say prayer. Prayer is the way that we show and prove our dependence on what? On God. One of the ways we show and prove dependence on God or the Spirit of God is prayer. Okay, so I think relinquishing our trust in self is number one. Prayer is number two. Prayerlessness is proof that we don't trust God. See, prayerlessness is proof that we don't trust God. It shows we place our trust in our abilities. When we don't pray, it's an unspoken way to say to God, I don't need you. Remember, faith is what? In God. Faith is trust in God, right? Faith is what? Trust in God. Say, faith is trust in God. Faith is leaning on God. Faith is resting on God. And the way we show that is through prayer. Prayer is the way we lean on God. Prayer is the way we show God we need help. Prayer is acknowledging God in our life's affairs and dealings. See, prayer is acknowledging God in our life's affairs and dealings. Prayer is an expression of faith. Prayer is the way we exercise and demonstrate our faith in God. That's a good way to say it. Prayer is the way we exercise and demonstrate our faith in God. When we pray, we say to Him, you are the one who can help us. Hence, we have come. Something interesting happened. On my way here, a scripture came to me that I was going to add on my notes. As soon as I added it, Amanda came here and quoted the same scripture. Psalm 65, verse 2. Psalm 65, verse 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee what shall all flesh come? Prayer is the way we say to God, are they your hand, O Jesus? Are they your hand? When we don't pray, we say to God, we don't trust you. We don't need you. Hallelujah. Are we learning? Mark 11:23. Okay, oh sorry, let's read this together again. Let's read that scripture together. I don't know why I heard it twice today. Psalm 65 verse 2. Let's read together. One, two, go. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark 11:23. Let's read one to go. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, do what? Believe that you receive them. Say, prayer is the way that we exercise and demonstrate our faith in God. Number three, believing the word and speaking it. Faith in God is exercised by believing the word of God and speaking it. We dealt with this on Wednesday. 2 Corinthians 4:13. So when you find, so what am I trying to say? When you find a believer who understands faith in God, is a believer, number one, who has relinquished control of his life. has relinquished trust on self and switched to reliance on the Spirit of God. Number two is a believer who is prayerful, because prayer is the way we exercise and demonstrate our faith in God. Number three, when you find a believer who lives by faith, you find a believer who readily believes the word of God, takes the word of God. In other words, the person does not have a form of godliness and denies the power thereof. Do you know that many times, most of us, when we leave this, I mean, there's something about fellowshipping, you know, atmospheres like this. We had intense worship, prayer. There is faith in the atmosphere. You know that? There's a spirit of faith in the house. But the problem is when we leave places like this into the world and face the world and face those situations, we begin to say stuff like, let's be real. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Almost like, let's leave church for church. This is real life. But when you find a believer, they are the same here and they are the same outside. In the face of adversity, they say, I believe God's word. And when you believe it, what did Paul show us here? 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having what? The same spirit of faith. According what? As it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Your faith is not complete until it is spoken. Faith always speaks. Faith has mouth. You will never find a believer walking in faith who is not speaking faith. You are always speaking faith. In your greetings, in your conversations, in the hard times. That's why, have you noticed that when people are going through stuff, they look for the brother that has faith or sister that has faith to call? Yeah. You don't call the one who's always complaining. You look for preachers that have faith. Because faith speaks. Says faith speaks. Faith believes and faith speaks. Faith must always speak. Let the weak do what? Say. Let the poor do what? For we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by what? Let the redeemer of the Lord do what? Say, faith always speaks. We believe and therefore we speak. So you speak not just to God. You speak to things. Mark 11:23. You shall say what? Go there. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say. A real believer walking in faith is like a crazy person. Because you are talking every time. Not like a talkative, but you are talking to things. You are talking to situations. You are talking to yourself. I'm blessed. I'm always talking. I'm always talking to myself. I say, you are blessed. The Lord has given you what? The tongue of the land. You use the material that God has given you through his word to speak to yourself. I say, oh, Nathaniel. I posted one. Oh, Nathaniel, you are satisfied with favor. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. With long life, he satisfies me and shows me his salvation. Unto him who is able to keep Nathanael Bassi from falling and to present him faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be dominion and power, glory and majesty, now and forevermore. You speak. Say, faith speaks. Faith speaks. Faith has a voice. Faith believes and faith speaks. Say, faith believes. Remember, we're talking about living by faith. Hebrews 10:35. Oh. Go to 36. Am I? No, okay. Let me get the... Sorry. I'll get it now. is somewhere around there. Hebrews 10:23, I beg your pardon. Let's read together. One, two, go. Let us hold fast what? The profession of what? Our faith without wavering, for it's faithful. You can't say you are living by faith and you are not speaking faith. That word profession is the word confession. So you saw this morning, we did what? Confessed the word of God. It is the spirit of faith to speak faith. To speak faith. You talk back. You talk to God. You talk to things. You talk at the devil. You talk to yourself. Can I give you 30 seconds to speak to yourself right now? That's why you have to read the word. To have materials to speak to yourself. Faith believes and we speak. I'm not a failure. I'm exceedingly fruitful. I know God. I love God. The eye of my understanding is enlightened. That's what it means to live by faith. Now speak to situations. In Jesus' mighty name. Let me go back to prayer and give you one scripture. So, when you live by faith, those who live by faith express it in prayer. And one of the ways we pray is Jude 120. Jude 120. Building up your what? Your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. The one who is living by faith is one who is constantly praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Let's go. And our life of faith is evident in the following. In our decisions and choices. In our decisions and choices. You can argue that you are a man of faith, you are living by faith, but when I look at the chain of your decisions and the rationale behind the decisions and choices you make, I can tell that this is a person who lives by the flesh. I've quoted Proverbs 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It is not old school to present everything before God. It's not. That is the character of the life of faith. Lord, should I travel? Should I do this business? Should I go out with this girl? Should I buy this car? Should I live in this house? Should I go for this party? That is the life of faith. That's what it means. It means you are not relying on your senses. It's evident in your choices and why you do things. It's evident in our responses and reactions. Our responses. There's a way the person of faith responds. We don't respond based on how we feel. The life of faith is contrary, is opposite. Jesus said, if they slap you, do what? No, that's hard. He says, you want to get. He says, no, don't keep. Do what? There's he that scattereth, yet what? Increaseth. There's he that what? Withholdeth more than his meat, yet tendeth. He says, you want to go up, you humble yourself, come down. is evident in our words and deeds. In our words and deeds. We've spoken about speaking and talking in our speech. 1 Corinthians 2:6. We speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. We learned from Dr. Andy the other time during conference that wisdom is what God says. How many of you remember that wisdom is whatever God says? That wisdom is what is in God's word. That wisdom is not fact. It's not what the news is saying. But wisdom is what God is saying. And when we speak what God is saying, we are speaking faith. We are living faith. Living by faith is to believe that God is faithful. That his plans and intentions for us are the very best. Is believing that God's outcome is the best outcome. That when we take decisions based on the leading of the Spirit or the Word of God, that that outcome is the best outcome for life. We live by faith when we trust that God is good and praise Him for everything that comes our way, be it comfort and wealth or discomfort and strain. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. Let's thank God for His word and ask for grace to live by faith. Number one, to relinquish trust in self and self-effort, to relying on God's grace, on His Spirit. If you are here this morning, you are not born again. It means you do not have faith in God. What that means is that you trust yourself to go through this very mysterious journey called life. It means you can sort everything out by yourself. If you are not born again, what do I mean? It means you've not placed your trust in Jesus. It means you are the Lord of your life. You can protect yourself. You can, you know, but you know that you don't have joy. You are struggling. No peace. And in the spirit of living by faith, I bring invitation that Jesus Christ, the one who saved my soul, wants to do the same for you. All you need to do is to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. These things I have shared. He's the Messiah, the Son of God. He died, He rose again, He shed His blood. And that you see that which He did as a basis for salvation, justification and righteousness. You will be saved. Every eye closed, head bow. You want to say, Pastor Nathaniel, I'm the one you are talking about. But today I want to make a decision for Jesus. Please raise your hands. Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. God bless you. Raise your hand. Very well. We believe and therefore we speak. Wave. See, raise if you're good. God bless you. God bless you. Wave like you are saying a bye-bye to sin. Yes, yes. I've got my mind made up. Now, those of you waving bye-bye to sin, I want you to take one more step. Please take your Bibles and your belongings and just come forward to where I am now. Quickly, quickly, quickly. We're closing. Don't be ashamed. The rest of us clap as they come. Yes, these are people who have decided to place their trust and faith in God. Keep clapping till they come. They are saying bye-bye to sin. That it's time to place their faith and trust in Jesus. God bless you, my sister. Come. God bless you, our brothers. Come. Oh, please clap. There's no way we will talk about faith in God without giving people an opportunity to place their faith in God. Keep clapping. Is that the best we can do? If a voice is saying to you, don't go, that's the devil. Shame the devil. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. There is joy in heaven over one soul. We have to rejoice that people have decided to place their trust in Jesus. If you are coming, do so quickly. Let me know you are coming. If you are coming, just wave your hands while you are coming. If you are coming, wave your hands while you are coming. Wave your hands, wave your hands, wave your hands, wave your hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God is so good. We must be excited about souls. Ministers. Okay, let me lead them to Christ. Now, look at me. What you are doing has the power to change your life for all eternity. Look at me. I want you to look at me. Look at me. Am I not fine? You don't want to look at me. You've taken a decision that is unarguably the best decision of your life. It determines the quality of your life here on earth and the quality of your life in eternity. This decision has just delivered you from hell. God forbid, if you die now, there's hope for you. You'll be in heaven. Place your right hand on your chest. And you have to say it and believe in your heart, okay? Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe you are the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who was to come. Thank you for coming. Thank you for dying. Thank you for shedding your blood on the cross. I acknowledge I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. So today, I place my trust in you as the Messiah. I place my trust in that which you did on the cross. And I declare that my sins are forgiven. Say, my sins are forgiven. I am now born again, a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. See, all things have become new in Jesus' mighty name. Let me pray for you. Father, I declare on the authority of your word that these ones are forgiven. They are brand new. They are bona fide children of God in Jesus' mighty name. I declare that you place your hand upon them, fill them with the Holy Spirit, and use them for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name.